Y'all, it's Be Dangerous back again with another edition of Dangerous Sports Talk. Into April 10th, right now. And today is Bianca Belair's birthday, and she is a year older than me. So happy 34th birthday to Bianca Belair's fine self. And of course, we got to get into WrestleMania. Well, what I seen in WrestleMania, because I wasn't there for the first hour of WrestleMania the first day, but before we get into that, please follow me on Instagram and Twitter at TheBeDangerous. Also, follow this very podcast you're listening to right now, Dangerous Sports Talk, on Spotify, wherever podcasts are available. So let's just get right into WrestleMania. So I had something to do on Saturday. I was at a barbecue with one of my buddies, and I got home like maybe an hour into everything, so I didn't get a chance to see, any opening matches or anything like that, but I believe I came in, right before Damage Control fought Bianca, Jade, and Naomi. And of course, not surprising, they won that match. And that's a match that I had been looking forward to seeing any fucking way. Because you have three of my favorite ladies wrestling together. Like, I would have thought that Bianca and Jade would have been fighting each other. But I'm like, hey, I guess they want to build up to that. They want to build some type of rapport or something like that. So they have a storyline to go off on. Which is a wise decision. Also, before I even get into anything like that. This WrestleMania right here was the very first of the Triple H era, the true Triple H era, because Vince is not overseeing everything and trying to put his two cents in every step of the damn way. And overall, this WrestleMania, Hunter showed his ass because he had full authority to do whatever the hell he wanted to do without somebody trying to fuck things up or trying to do whatever the hell it is they want to do. Because at one time, Vince was that guy. When it came to creative, when it came to storylines, all that other good stuff, he was that guy. But as time went on, certain things became stale, which is why the company was in the position that it was in. Especially like, let's see, let's say 2020 through 2021-ish. That's when shit started to get kind of stale and stagnant. And had been for the last 10 years or so. And this is all in the middle of all his sexual assault allegations, but the company still managed to turn a damn profit. Because when they said then, now, and forever, those fans, us, who keep that business running the way it is, we're going to keep it running forever. Allegations be damned. But anyway, back to WrestleMania. Let's see, we had Gunther finally dropping the damn Intercontinental belt to Sami Zayn. And Sami absolutely deserved that title win. And one thing that irritated me about the whole Intercontinental title picture, that there was none. Like, you have all these good mid-card wrestlers who could have had a run with the Intercontinental belt. But you let one guy hold it a hella extended amount of time. For what? Literally for what? Like, Gunther, he's a decent wrestler, don't get me wrong. But to have him hold one of the most prestigious, well, I'm sorry, one of the supposed prestigious titles in the company for that damn long. And you finally, fucking finally, you give it to, like I said, you finally let someone else hold it. He shouldn't have had it that long, period. Because you got a gang of wrestlers who were worthy of holding that belt and having their own individual title reign, and then it goes on to somebody else. Nah, they let Gunther hold it for way too long, for my liking at least. Let's see what else happened the first night. Because I don't want to blend in the second night of the first night, because I watched the second night altogether. Oh, fuck. Let's see. Oh, the tag match with Roman and Rocky versus Cody. And oh my god. This is why I don't like doing shows without notes. But I just wanted to be cocky again and do another show without notes. So here I am. Versus Cody. Oh my god, I forgot. Roman and Rock ended up winning that tag match. I'm not even going to try to remember right now because my brain is, I'm still sleepy. So they go into the next night in Bloodline Rules. We'll get into that match in a second. But the second night we had, let's see. Oh, that damn Logan Paul match. It was a triple threat match, mind you. And instead of having KO win or having Randy win, well, I didn't think Randy was going to win, but it was good to see him, of course. And I would have expected KO to win that match. They let Logan's ass win. Like, granted, you're a good wrestler, but you don't do it for me, sir. I'm sorry. I don't give a damn if you are from the west side of Cleveland. You don't do it for me, and your brother doesn't do it for me. And we're going to get into his brother a little bit later in the show, but this is still WrestleMania right now. Then you had AJ versus LA Knight. They want LA Knight to happen so bad because they've given him the reins to the Slim Jim commercials. Granted, they still pay homage to Macho Man, as the fuck they should, because he's the one who put Slim Jims on the map. But he comes rolling into WrestleMania with his little Slim Jim car, whatnot. Okay, that's cool. But I love AJ Styles, and I'm glad they didn't do him dirty, because that was one thing I was terrified of when he first came over there. They gave AJ his title reign. They let him be relevant. They let him be the phenomenal one like he's accustomed to being and not try to change his character. And I'm glad for that. But AJ got extremely jacked when we weren't looking at some point. And him and LA Knight, they did their thing. And LA Knight ended up winning. Okay, no surprise. Okay. Oh, I almost forgot about this. Damn. The Jay versus Jimmy match. And with this match, this only made it the third time in history that two blood brothers fought each other at WrestleMania. The other two, of course, were Owen and Bret Hart. And the second was Matt and Jeff Hardy. And I love those matches. Because if you're going to wrestle somebody, truly wrestle somebody, you would want it to be your brother because you know him the best out of anybody that you could ever wrestle, especially if it's your damn twin. Now, I expected a little bit more from this match. I'm not going to lie to you. But, of course, Jay had to pull the win out. You know what I'm saying? So that's not a surprise at all. And I think that was the first night as well. But my friend ended up coming over the first night, so I really don't remember too much about what happened in the middle of the match. Happened after that for real, but hey, I can easily go back right now on Peacock and watch it, so forgive me. Hold on, so night two. We had the World Heavyweight Championship match between Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins. Two things. I completely forgot that Seth even held the World Heavyweight title, and that's some real shit. Seth has come a long way from who he used to be in the company. They gave him his world title reign. Okay, no problem. Then one thing they did do this year was go out with all the entrances this year. When it came to Bianca coming out, when it came to Jay coming out, Drew, Jimmy, Jay, all that shit. Like, they actually came with it with the entrances this year. So I can't even shit on them for that. But then Seth comes out looking like an extra from I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. And some of y'all might be a little too young to know what that movie is. But if you know what that movie is, you know. So him and Drew go out. They have a pretty decent match, you know. And CM Punk was the damn commentator. And of course, Drew was kind of looking over at him, kind of taunting him a little bit. Because remember, if you remember, Drew McIntyre is the one who ended up injuring CM Punk for that time. Because Punk would have been wrestling at Mania and not on commentary had Drew not injured him. So Drew goes on and he wins the match, making this his first ever world heavyweight title win in front of fans. Because I'm thinking on the indie circuit, he did win their world title. And that's commendable. But he wanted to do it at WrestleMania, and Drew did that. But instead of taking his ass to the back and savoring his win, what does Drew decide to do? He decides to sit his ass, well, kneel his ass, on one of the tables and talk shit to CM Punk. And at first I'm kind of confused. I'm like, okay, you won, but why are you trying to showboat and talk this shit in his face? However, my question was answered when CM Punk took off that damn arm brace, hits Drew over the head with it. It without warning. Fine-ass Damian Priest comes down the ramp with his Money in the Bank briefcase. And I completely forgot another thing I had forgotten about, that he had the Money in the Bank briefcase. So, what does Dame decide to do? He decides to cash it in on Drew, who didn't even have the World Heavyweight title for more than 10 minutes at this point. And he goes in, hits his finisher, 1, 2, 3, Damian Priest is the new champion. And CM Punk is pretty much laughing his ass off. So that's going to be a thing when he finally heals up from his injury. Him and Drew are going to go at it. And I know that feud is going to be something intense. So you ain't got to be a rocket scientist to know that. And then we had the Hall of Fame class. And of course, the biggest name being that of Paul Heyman, who was still carrying around that Universal title like it was his. And my cousin told me, she was like, Paul Heyman has been the champion for all this time because you never seen him without the belt. He's done more interviews with that belt than Roman has. And that's the God honest truth. But let's see. We had Bull Nacko there. We had The Rock's grandmother, Miss Maivia. And The Rock's mom inducted her mother into the Hall of Fame. And that was a cool moment. Let's see who else was there. Muhammad Ali. He was at the very first WrestleMania. And he's had WWE moments since then. So, hey, what can you really say? I'm like, I hope that Layla would have inducted him because that would have been a really cool moment. But you can't get everything that you want. What else? Who else was there? I think IRS and his tag partner were inducted as well. Like I said, please forgive me if certain names elude me right now. Who else? I'm trying to think off the top of my damn head. And it's not coming to me. So, yeah. Hall of Fame ceremony happened. Well, they got to remind you who was inducted into the Hall of Fame. So, okay, no problem. We go there. And after all the craziness of the second night, we're finally ready for the main event. And we know that it's Bloodline Rules. Roman versus Cody Rhodes. And the match overall had plenty of twists and turns. And everything that you watch WrestleMania for. And every time Cody would build some type of momentum, somebody from the Bloodline would come down. First, it was Jimmy with the super kick. Jay comes down and has to stop everything. But Jimmy runs to Jay first, and then they go through a table off the stage. Roman starts to build some momentum some more. And then Cody gets back into where Crossroads is. Oh, and Roman also used Crossroads on Cody because he wanted to rub it in his face. And I'm like, just because of how he was moving, I knew things were going to be different than what they had been for the last 1,300 damn days. But anyway, Cody starts to build momentum. It gets chopped down by Solo. And who would come down? John Cena with the dad hair. He comes down and he attitude adjustments, or I'm sorry, FU Solo through a table. And Seth Rollins was supposed to be there in his Shield stuff in defense of Cody. But I forget how he ended up falling, because I'm like, that's one thing. I'm like, I totally forgot he was there. Like, somebody ends up hitting him, so he doesn't even end up participating in this match like the way he wanted to. Then The Rock comes down as the final boss. And while Roman speared The Rock during that tag match, one thing that I wanted, and I'm mad I didn't get, was a Rock turn. Because The Rock, I know, wouldn't accept that. It wouldn't matter if you accidentally speared him or not. It's the fact that you speared him, period. And he was going to make sure that you knew about it and didn't forget it. So the fact that they skimmed over that kind of pissed me off a little bit. But I hope they make up for it. I really do. So The Rock takes off his belt that says Mama Rhodes on it. All of a sudden, a gong goes off. An all too familiar gong. And it's like, wait the fuck a minute. Any WWE fan that has been around during the span of my lifetime knows what this gong is. The lights go out. The crowd is going nuts. The gong goes off again. The lights come back on. And who the hell do we see but Undertaker himself? And that was like, what the hell are you doing here, Taker? And he goes and he chokeslams Rocky. But after all of that, Cody finally locks in Crossroads. Does it 3 times. And he finished the story, finally. And Cody is finally the new Universal Champion. And this was so special because this is the first time any Rhodes has won the world title. Because years ago, his father won the NWA title over Ric Flair in a cage match. But he never got a chance to win. Because, let's see. Oh, and neither did his brother Goldust. He had just stayed within tag title and intercontinental title. So he wasn't getting to that world title spot. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. So, knowing that Cody has won this match and finally ended the Bloodline's reign, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Because the fallout from this should be more interesting than anything. Because I know Roman wants to take a break for personal stuff. I know that. And it's, you know what I'm saying, like, you can't ask for anything more. Like, you gave your life to this business for the last, 4 years straight. And I commend him for that. But, however, to me, his title reign was a little bit tainted because he kept that belt so long because he had constant interferences from the Bloodline. To be able to hold on to it that long, you're going to need some help. So with that being said, he never beat anybody clean to get this title reign for as long as he did. Like I said, I still love Roman down. Don't ever get it twisted. I always loved Roman. But this title reign could have been more than what it was if he would have been an actual fighting championship. Like, there should have been a stipulation in place years ago that said if any Bloodline members interfere in this match, you will be stripped of that title. No questions asked, no nothing. It's like they let it happen like they let that Gunther fucking Intercontinental belt reign last for too damn long. And it shouldn't have been like that as well. But that is not for us to decide still. Triple H had full authority to do what he did, and he got it done. He got it done. Like, this WrestleMania was absolutely good, and I gave it a solid A. And our expectations are high anyway. And it took all of this. It took 4 years. It took for Vince to finally retire and sit his ass down somewhere amid all of his assault charges and everything, and him paying people off and all this other shit. Through that, Hunter still managed to get in the office and make things happen. He's giving people chances that didn't get chances under Vince. People who got fired under Vince for whatever dumbass reason. He's giving them a chance to actually shine and break through in the business the way that they should have been. And seeing Cody come back, it's just seeing him evolve, period, from being a legacy member, from being Stardust, to everything he did on the indie circuit, to him being who he was in AEW, and then coming back to the company that helped nurture him as a wrestler. It's nothing short of satisfying. And I have one of his shirts in here somewhere, and I didn't feel like looking for it, and I know I'm going to have to. I probably got to wash it for real. But anyway, this WrestleMania was absolutely, it was lovely. It was lovely. And this was actually the first time in years that I've finished a WrestleMania and was completely happy with everything. And, oh, I believe there was a triangle, I think it was a six-man ladder match. But they could have did a lot more with certain things. Like, of course, Snoop was on commentary during one of the matches. Let's see, who else? Oh, we had Lil Wayne come out and perform. Before, I think it was with, before Jay came out. Lil Wayne was there. And of course, oh, you had Jason Kelce and one of his teammates from the Eagles there. That was against Rey Mysterio and Escobar match. They came through. And of course, I wanted to see Rey whoop Dominic again because he absolutely deserves it. I got what I wanted last year for WrestleMania because that's the number one thing that I did want. And I'm happy to see Rey Mysterio, speaking of which. The last I seen him, he was suffering from a knee surgery. So he was recovering from that. But I'm glad to see him still able to do his thing. And even though he can't go full throttle like he did before, he still finds ways to get shit done in the ring. When is Rey going to retire? I don't know. Because you have some big ass shoes to fill when it comes to finding a new quote unquote Rey Mysterio for this generation. Because you're not going to do that. I'm sorry. Rey Mysterio was always going to be Rey Mysterio no matter what. And even though people want to stomp out Dominic, he still has room to grow as a wrestler and as a character. Because he's still being an asshole right now. But can he evolve into a main event competitor? I don't doubt that. But still, we got to give Dusty Dom his due. Even though I don't like to do that. Let's see, who else? Oh. We had the ladies wrestling. And we had, hold on. Oh my God. I know that match was good. I'm trying to think of who actually wrestled. I know it wasn't Becky Lynch or Rhea Ripley. That I know. But, oh my God. I'll have to go back and watch it. I'm sorry, y'all. But a good amount of what I remember is what the fuck I remember. So let's say a good 90% of WrestleMania I can remember off the top of my head. Let's say that. So I didn't do too bad, did I? Also, speaking of upcoming events, I meant to talk about this in my last show, but it ended up skipping my damn mind and I was sorry about that. So, Jake Paul has woke up the beast. And I said this 3 years ago. So you chose death. Because Jake Paul's next fight is going to be against none other than Mike Tyson himself. He talked all this shit about Tyson being old and done and all this other shit and how he was the new generation. All this other just nonsensical shit. And Tyson said he likes Jake as a person and he knows that. But he's a different beast. And Mike has been training like a madman. Like, he never lost it, okay? Let's just be real. Mike Tyson never lost it. And all he had to do was get his body and conditioning together and do everything that he was doing at his prime. And he said he didn't just sign it just for fun. He was coming to retire him and send him to WWE with his brother. Now, I know he's been doing whatever training he's been doing, but if you put his training video next to Mike Tyson's, there is no comparison. This is what this is giving. It's giving very much Bart Gunn versus Butterbean. Butterbean knew he could have ended shit just like that. But he decided to give him a little bit of, you know what I'm saying, a little bit of space to do what he does. But he could easily decide to knock him out whenever he wanted to, and that's pretty much what happened. And knowing how Tyson is, just a jab alone will have that boy seeing stars. And pretty much your mouth has had you cash a check that you're not going to be alive to spend. Because Tyson ain't playing with you. Mike is not playing with you, sir. But since you wanted to talk shit, you woke the beast up. Now, it's going to be you that's going to have to deal with him. And you gonna, like Tyson said, you're going to see how old he is fight night. So, hey, you wanted it, you got it. Now, it's going to be interesting to see the funeral. It really is. Because after this, I believe it's going to be like in June. I don't know exactly what day in June, but I do know it's going to be on the weekend more than likely. So, Jake Paul, you better enjoy what little boxing career that you have right now, because Tyson is going to end it and he's going to end you. So you better get a coffin on the side of the ring. You better get that truck your brother brought down to WrestleMania to carry your coffin away, because this isn't going to be pretty. Especially when Tyson knows he can measure you. He knows how much you'll give him, because you can't fucking fuck with a professional boxer. And you don't have half the experience that they do. But he fought Mayweather and thought that he could take on Tyson. Okay, take Tyson on. Let's see what the hell you do. But that's in the next 2 months. And I can't wait for that. I literally can't wait for that. Also, we got to talk some Lakers as well. So with last night's loss, they fucking fell back down from the 8th seed to the 9th seed. So I should feel some type of way about that? The Lakers are going to do what the hell they're going to do. Be inconsistent, barely make it into the damn playoffs, and then have a tight, well, let's see. They'll have a what? Not even a very deep playoff run. They might get to the second round if they don't get bitch slapped out of the first round. Because even last year was shocking. Them getting to the conference finals, or limping to the conference finals, I should say, was nothing short of, oh my God, what the hell are we watching here? Because I didn't expect them to make it past Memphis. They made it past Memphis. They made it past Golden State. They get to the eventual world champion Denver Nuggets and get bitch slapped and swept out of the playoffs. So, what the hell else do you think is going to humble me? And what do you think that I haven't seen from the Lakers? People act like them doing what they do is a brand new thing. And these Lakers with LaTwat on them, their expectations are held higher than usual. Because when he came there, I was told that losing was a thing of the past and that they would always be in the playoffs and they would be relevant again. Yet here they are, struggling to stay a fucking float in the West, not only in the Western Conference, but period. And it was all good. It was all gravy when Kobe was going through this, right? Kobe and them had no hopes in hell of making the playoffs in his last seasons because they were too busy losing and getting D-League players to make up the damn roster. And that was all good and well. Kobe finished his career again on a 17-65 team. But when the twat came there, I was expected to bow on bloody knees and thank him every day of my life. Thank him for what exactly? thank him for mediocrity, because that's what this has been giving. His whole Lakers run has been nothing but mediocre. Yes, they got the first NBA cup. And what did you do with that NBA cup? You have your ass in the ninth goddamn seed. And you're struggling to stay afloat in the playoff picture. I'm sorry. If you're mediocre, I'm going to be the first to tell you that and stand in it. If you are inconsistent, I will let you know that. If you're not playing up to your full potential, I'm going to say it. But one thing I do know is that LaTois said he doesn't have much time left. Okay, so leave. Be a manager to your kid's career. And I believe he transferred to another college because things weren't working for him in USC. Okay, no problem. Find your way. But if your time is winding down in LA, fucking leave and retire and take your fucking stands with you. That's what I want. Because you have done nothing but give your little broke back ass promises and run your mouth more than you've actually won. Because there have been more non-playoff seasons and playoff eliminations than there has been title wins. Because I thought all you had to do was add Lahem to any roster, add such and such players, stir, and boom, instant championship. But that's not what happened, is it? I've gotten LaMediocre. And that's going to be his name from now on. LaMediocre, because that's exactly what he has been since he came to the Lakers. And you can't put this on his age, because when this was Kobe, he didn't get half as much grace as he did at the same damn age. So, with that being said, I don't expect too much from this Lakers team. I don't expect them to get into the playoffs. They might limp there. They might get there. But then they'll be, their throats will be cut, and they will be out of the playoffs, so they can sit there and watch another team win the championship like they are accustomed to doing. And with this being 32 minutes, I'm going to get my ass off of here, because I was due to do a show anyway. But those who have been listening faithfully for the last couple of years that I've been on Spotify, I thank you guys so very much. There would be no show without you guys. There would be no Be Dangerous without you guys, because y'all are the ones who give me the motivation to keep doing shows and talking the shit that I talk, because this is obviously a passion for me. And I didn't want to wait too long to do it, because I'm like, if I don't do it now, I'm not going to do it, period. So 32 minute show off the top of my head, going into 33 minutes, you can't ask for more than that. And on that note, I'm going to get my ass out of here and probably take my ass back to fucking sleep, because it is officially midnight. So it is April 10th right now. And Be Dangerous is out of here. Please follow me on Instagram and Twitter at TheBeDangerous. Also, follow Dangerous Sports Talk, the Facebook page, and on Spotify, wherever podcasts are available. And I'm out of here. Peace.